You're listening to Faith in Healthcare, the CMDA Matters podcast. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to Faith in Healthcare, where we continue to explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. So whether you're in healthcare, married, or otherwise connected to someone who is, or you're just simply interested in how God is working right now through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we're so glad that you're here. In this episode, I'm joined by CMDA's Director of Global Health Outreach, Dr. Trish Burgess, along with a veteran GHO, that's Global Health Outreach team leader, who just crossed a remarkable milestone. He's been involved in or leading 50 mission teams, and he's Dr. Andy Lamb. Andy is both an Army veteran and an internist, and together we're going to talk about how one trip to Guatemala reoriented his motives, how praying with patients became part of his daily practice back home, and how serving overseas, it softened a soldier turned internist into a more tender dad and mentor. You're also going to hear how GHO has matured over the years with safer logistics, stronger pharmacy systems, and better preparation for our team leaders, so that clinicians on these teams can focus on discipling the members of the team and caring for patients in Christ's name with excellence. And if you've ever wondered, hey, is there a place for me in all of this? I think that today's conversation will give you both vision and practical next steps. So let's dive in. Well, today on Faith in Healthcare, I am just very excited because today with me in the studio is our Director of Global Health Outreach. I think it's been 7 or 8 years, hasn't it, Trish?
7 and a half, so you're right on.
Not too long ago, Trish, I asked you, could you share with me one of your incredible leaders in GHO that we could have on the program who could talk about the experience with GHO over the years? And you said, wow, good timing. We have someone who's just celebrated going on 50 teams.
Yes, and one of our team leaders. So, you know, really mm-hmm. strong GHO person for us.
So with us today is Dr. Andy Lamb. And Andy, congratulations on having been on and probably for most of those leading 50 teams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here. And it's hard to believe that it's been 50 missions.
Before we get jumping into those, into that history with GHO, I want you to tell our listeners or watchers about your career here in the U.S., in medicine in particular. What's your specialty, and what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, sure. So I'm an internal medicine specialist, retired now as of 4 years ago, although I stay plenty busy. Growing up, my plan goal was not to be a physician. It was to be an airborne ranger, infantry officer, and serve in the Army. So that's why I went to West Point. But, you know, God and time just kind of changed my heart and decided to go to medical school. I went to the University of Alabama in Birmingham on the Armed Forces Scholarship, which is a great scholarship, and did my training in internal medicine at Fort Gordon, Georgia, at Eisenhower Army Medical Center. Finished that in 1987, spent 5 years at Fort Campbell, Kentucky as an internist, and then got out of the Army in 1992. Went to private practice.
Well, I've seen a very strong correlation, and I know Dr. Burgess has as well, of those who go on these global health outreach teams and do ministry overseas who also have a strong heart for being an ambassador for Christ right here in the United States. So what does looking like an ambassador, what does being an ambassador for Christ look like for Dr. Andy Lamb?
Well, I know for me, it's a couple of different areas. One was with my patients themselves. Before I did my first mission with GHO, I would pray periodically with my patients. But after I started doing the missions with GHO and God just really impacted me, I began praying with the majority of my patients. And that was such a important for me to do that, and I think for the patients. And I think that had an impact on them and really on even the clinic where I worked. But the other thing is I'm just very involved in mentoring and investing in and teaching those coming behind me.
Students and residents?
Yes. And I've done that my entire career.
Okay.
And that's really, I would call my passion.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so now we're talking about, you know, you've hit this milestone of your 50th mission, which I was blessed because it was on my team. And I'd asked him to join me because I needed physician help. And his wife had never been on a mission with GHO before. So they both came with me. Mm-hmm. And so we had this great celebration. The last night we went to a nicer restaurant for dinner and I asked to buy a cake to celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I think it said, congratulations, 50th mission. Mm-hmm. And so I presented it to Andy and talked about how much he meant to me personally as a good friend, a mentor for me over the years on my advisory council. So I was talking about that and they even put, I think, a candle on that cake.
They did.
And so the restaurant staff didn't read English. So they're assuming
it's
that we're celebrating.
Birthday.
Yeah. So they came over and sang a birthday song for him, which was just so perfect. It made it so joyful. But anyway, when you hit a milestone like that, Andy, I know it makes you start reflecting, you know, over the years. And so can you share like how this all began, like how you got involved in GHO and what that beginning looked like?
Yeah, absolutely. Around 1998, I just felt this desire to do a medical mission. And, you know, I know that was God prompting my heart. And so I went to Billy Graham's The Cove for their medical mission weekend mm-hmm. that they do once a year. And that just motivated me more. So I remember coming back and coincidentally, of course, it's not a coincidence, right after I got back, I got a flyer from CMDA with the GHO missions and the whole list for the upcoming year. And I took it to my partner, Mark Miller, who's been on many missions with me. And I said, hey, Mark, you want to do a mission? And he goes, yeah, sure.
Were you already a CMDA member then? Is that how you got the flyer?
Yes, I had just joined CMDA probably not even a year before mm-hmm. that. So, you know, Mark goes, yeah, sure. And I said, well, where do you want to go? When do you want to go? And we just looked at the list and we chose the very last mission of the year because it'd give us plenty of time to prepare. And, you know, mm-hmm. and we just, it was Guatemala in November of 2000 and had no idea what was going to happen, what it was going to be like. Andy Sanders was the team leader and my life's never been the same.
So was there something specific or like a word from the Lord or something that he spoke into you on that first mission trip about continuing with GHO or how did that happen?
Yeah, we get to Guatemala and anyone who knows Andy Sanders knows what a great teacher he is. Mm-hmm. And at first I have to back it up. My reasons for doing the missions were really, as I look back, very selfish because it was all about me. You know, because I love to travel, I love adventure, I love the Spanish culture and Spanish, and I knew, you know, I wanted to be able to help people and all that, mm-hmm. but it was just all about what was I going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there, and after the first day at the clinic, and hearing words that Andy Sanders had to say, it's like this epiphany. I realized, no, you know, it's not about me at all. And I know this sounds simplistic, but, you know, it's just hit me, you know, it's all about God. And that was a huge turning point in my life. I mean, just the reality that to live a life that honors and glorifies God and not for my own reasons. And that was the biggest thing that happened that very first mission.
Well, Andy, I don't think you're alone in that. I mean, mine was similar too. It's all about, I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do this. I wanted to work hard, you know, for the Lord. So I think somehow that's how you get drawn in. And I was the very same way, where it was more of a personal encounter with Christ on that first trip
mm-hmm.
that I just could never stop going after that. That's how he really spoke to me for the first time, you know, a true, honest encounter. You know, so I think a lot of us are like that.
Yeah, so it was a huge blessing.
Well, there are plenty of I mean, we're talking about maybe there's some paradoxes in the kingdom of God, and that we should be give ourselves away, and then we are so blessed. So while we start off with selfish reasons to be blessed, the discoveries that you've made over the years that I'm going to give myself away and give glory to God, and yes. Then such joy and blessing comes back. So over the years, all of these various trips that you've been on, how have you seen your life impacted and your family, your church? What impact, global impact, has this had on you as you've been serving and leading and mentoring others?
Well, I can tell you, I am not the same person now that I was when I did my first mission. Mm-hmm. And if you were to talk to my three sons, and they're all grown now, but they were, you know, younger then, and they would say the same, that I'm not the same person because of how God's worked in my heart. Before I started doing missions, I was a pretty tough father, you know, disciplinarian. I was just pretty tough. I was raising my boys like I'd been raised. Mm-hmm. And because I mean, I think
army man with discipline.
Yeah. I was going to say your military background.
Yeah, that was just coming out. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I wasn't showing my sons the love that they needed and in a way that they needed. Mm-hmm. And doing these missions, as God worked in my heart, and especially as He began to teach me what a servant heart looked like, mm-hmm. I realized how wrong I had been in so many of my approaches as a father. I can give a quick example.
Sure, give it.
Remember at the dinner table, the boys were all acting up, complaining about the food or whatever, and just kind of, you know, irritated me. And I took my right fist and I slammed it on the table. And I slammed it hard. And I said, "This house is not a democracy. I rule this house with an iron fist." Mm-hmm. Do you understand? And I think back on that, and it's like, who was that guy? I mean, I don't recognize him now. And it's because of how God used each and every one of these missions to change my heart.
And unpack that a little bit for us. I mean, Trish, I don't know how many trips you've been on now, but it's dozens and dozens and dozens, right?
Right.
But unpack that for our listeners. What about the trips is doing that to you?
It's seeing the need, a need that I never really had seen before, and recognize and seeing how overwhelming it is. But being in the country with the people, you know, actually seeing and hearing and feeling, you know, just your whole senses are experiencing the need. The need became real to me, mm-hmm. because it became personal. And that was very impactful for me, that finally it wasn't just something I saw on a TV or read in the paper and I might feel, oh, that's terrible, but then you forget about it. Mm-hmm. But when you actually experience it, mm-hmm. it changes you.
Right, you put a name and a face to it.
Yes.
Like, for example, on this last trip we did together, just a little over a month ago, I had a woman who came in with anxiety, but really, she had her 18-month-old on her lap with her, and I was like, well, what is there something particular that's making you anxious? Well, this 18-month-old has several heart defects, like major heart issues, and they need open-heart surgery to survive, you know, probably beyond two. And so we talked about that, and even if she had surgery in Managua, which is, you know, the capital of Nicaragua, they said they can't do it safely there, that she would need to be in the United States to have that surgery done for him. So you put a name and a face, and I'm watching this mother with her, who looks healthy at the time, 18-month-old, because then I'm like checking capillary reflux stuff while she's talking. It's a name and a face, and you see, you know, the lack of health care there. So it's suddenly personal to you, like you said, Andy, and just profoundly impacts what you think. And I've thought mm-hmm. that too about all the handicapped, you know, children we see, and these mm-hmm. moms and dads don't have wheelchairs even. You know, they're carrying them on their back or dragging them in a wheelchair through the house, and you see mm-hmm. the grooves in the house. I mean, you just suddenly realize, I think, for one, how blessed we are.
Yeah.
You know, here in the United States, but also to practice medicine in the United States, where we can offer much more.
With fewer limitations.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, you know, we work alongside physicians. Yeah. Like in Nicaragua, mm-hmm. there's always a Nicaraguan physician. And so you think how blessed we are that, like in the ER, I don't have to worry about if they can even pay.
Right, right.
But they have all those. They have their limitations. So the humility that you have to approach
right.
our national partners and the physicians with, because they don't have the same ability we do,
yeah.
you know, to provide health care. So it's not just the patients, but even the healthcare professionals in these countries that are struggling to practice good medicine. So yeah, it suddenly just becomes almost overwhelming because yeah. the humility that you feel in those situations. So
yes.
for either one of you, because you've been both on so many teams, and Trish is the director, GHO I'm sure has changed over the years. So Andy, let's start with you. 50 trips, 50 teams. Those experiences don't change. They're, you know, that you've just described, mm-hmm. but there are other things, technical things, customs, blah, blah, blah. What has changed?
Well, a lot, and a lot for the good, that's for sure. With those first missions, all the medicines we brought were pretty much donations from pharmaceutical companies or reps. You know, you just get what you could, and everyone would just take them out of their packets and bag them up, and you know, we bought what we had. GHO was working with King's Pharmacy some, but that King's Pharmacy wasn't able to provide nearly the drugs that they used to be. So again, you know, each physician got together as much as they could, and that's what we inventoried and brought it. You know, now you go ahead 20 something years, and GHO has this great, I'd say sophisticated way of keeping up medications, and they have a formulary that's specific for different regions of the world.
And predictable,
yeah,
I guess.
Predictable.
Yeah.
And it's just a huge help. It's a big difference. Another big difference is when I did my first mission, all the cameras were just regular cameras. Now they're all on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, I saw my first digital camera the very first trip, and it was like, wow. But that's just a little aside. But, another big improvement is just the whole emphasis that GHO has on team leader preparation mm-hmm. and the measures that GHO goes through to make sure that every team is safe as possible. Because that's important.
Yeah, you know? I think that's especially been under Trish's leadership,
yeah.
Making sure that there are not adverse outcomes, or if there are, that they're documented.
And dealt with appropriately.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just in my time, so I'm about 9 years, but so around 10 years after you, but seeing the changes in GHO, I think it's been, for one thing, the emphasis. I think GHO has worked to do a lot of the logistical details for our team leaders now so that our team leaders can focus on discipleship. Mm. You know, watch this video for safety, but let's share this devotion, you know, so they can really focus on mentoring, discipling the teams, which is your best, you know, characteristic of you and how you handle your teams. He's such a good discipler. But it allows you more freedom to not focus on, okay, who's got this medicine, who's got what, you know, not deal with all that equipment. GHO's handling all that. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on mm-hmm. mentoring and discipling our teams well. So I think for me, that's been a goal of mine as director, to do everything I can to make your job easier as a leader, because most of our team leaders are not retired. So they're still working and have practices. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was getting ready to leave on missions, you know, as an ER physician, I packed my shifts around it. I could take, you know, a week off, but that gave me two less shifts. So then I still had to pack trips around that week. And so you're busy doing your extra shifts to have that week off. And for me, getting my family ready and making frozen crock pot meals, all these things, so I could be gone for a week.
Yeah.
So having to do all that too, I don't think I could have done it. I couldn't have been a good team leader.
Without logistical support.
Yeah, if without the logistical support of GHO. So I think that's...
Oh, that's absolutely true. Because in the peak of my career, when I was busiest, I was leading two, even three teams a year. You know, my fortune being in a private practice, that they were very understanding and supportive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's helpful.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. If you're looking for practical ways to bring the hope of Christ into your everyday patient care with respect and sensitivity, consider joining us for a Saline Process Witness Training event in November. It's a 10-hour training designed to equip healthcare professionals with practical tools for integrating faith into patient interactions. You'll learn how to take a spiritual history, pray with patients, and foster real-time connections with God in the clinical setting. Upcoming dates include Toronto, Canada on November 1st, Louisville, Kentucky on November 5th through 6th, and Dallas-Fort Worth on November 14th through 15th. For details and registration for any of our upcoming events, visit cmda.org/events. To learn more about the wide range of resources we offer at CMDA to support you and your calling, from the CMDA Go mobile app for community and event access, to nearly 400 online courses available through our Learning Center, visit us at cmda.org. You'll also find a faith-based bookstore, the quarterly CMDA Today magazine, and the new Point of Medicine Forum, all designed to help you live out your faith with excellence and compassion throughout your professional journey. Visit cmda.org for these and so many more resources. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
So in all these years, I know there are many, can you think of like one patient encounter that just profoundly impacted you and sort of changed your trajectory and share it with us?
So it's in Moldova, and I've written about this. We just finished the first day of clinic, and our host pastor wanted me to do a home visit. And so we go walking up on this hill, and we get to the top of the hill, and there's this tiny, probably 10 by 10 foot concrete home. One window, two pieces of furniture that were just, you know, made of wood. And that's about it. And sitting on the steps was this very elderly Moldovan woman. She was crippled with arthritis, and she's just sitting there. And so I sit down beside her with some of the other team members, and through my interpreter, we're talking to her about, you know, who we were, why we were there, and, you know, could we help her? And she didn't say anything. She's just staring straight ahead. And then I look where she's staring, and it's a graveyard. And in Moldova, all the graves are above the ground. Then all of a sudden, she said, "The only end to pain is the graveyard." That's the very first word she said. And it just hit me that, and what she meant was that, because she was an atheist, mm-hmm. she didn't believe in God, because she had grown up under communism. All of her family was gone. She had no one there. She was alone. And she just meant that all the emotional and physical pain that her entire life had been, the only time it's going to come to an end is when she died. And there was nothing. No. And I remember thinking how sad that is. Mm-hmm. You know, she was living without any hope of anything ever getting better. And to live without hope, it's not truly to live, it's to exist. And that's about it.
Right.
And I remember thinking to myself, this is why GHO missions are so important, because we bring hope. And of course, that hope is the hope of Christ mm-hmm. to people who too often live without hope or very little. And I will always remember that.
Mm-hmm. You told us earlier on that your passion is mentoring, discipling, and Trish affirmed that that's a real gift of yours. So this may be a tough question to answer, but are there one or two examples of those who've come along with you that you have mentored or discipled over these 50 teams that you've been a part of, in which others have followed and you're like, I am so proud of that young healthcare professional, man or woman, mm-hmm. who has caught the vision and has been transformed and has gone on to be a leader and has followed in your footsteps?
I can think of a number of individuals. The first one that comes to mind, he's not even a physician, but he's a team leader, Kevin Jordan. Mm-hmm. So Kevin is from the same town. I'm from North Carolina, and he's a land appraiser. But we went to the same church, and So I invited him to come on El Salvador mission with me, and this was 20 years ago, and he did, and he was in his 20s at that time. It just changed his life. And so he went for the next couple of years again, but he's a gifted speaker and teacher, and so I encouraged him to become a team leader, and which he has, and he's led any number of teams. There are several other team leaders, current team leaders, that I mentored and encouraged to and helped trained, who are, again, continue to lead teams. There are so many students, it's hard to even think of names, and no need to mention names, but I will say this. I probably have written well over 100 letters of recommendations for young people wanting to go to typically medical school, sometimes dental, and every single one of them was accepted to medical school.
Wow, that's a pretty good.
Yeah,
that's good odds.
And I like you want to share your email address with our listeners?
I like to say, well, you know, boy, I must be a great letter writer. And of course, it's not that. It's the quality of the young people that come on these teams.
Right.
A selection bias that's coming your way.
And the opportunity to get to serve with them and get to develop relationships with them that many that I still maintain through the years, it's just wonderful.
Yeah. I'm a little taken aback, though maybe not totally surprised, that you would pick someone, you know, who's not even a healthcare professional that would be your example, the one who caught the vision. And so, Trish, maybe just tell us about some of those listening. Wow, it's not even a healthcare professional that was involved. The team makeup, on average, what does that look like?
Right. Yeah, you know, people are shocked that, and I remember my first trip thinking, wow, I thought I was going on a healthcare mission because all these non-healthcare related people were signing on to the trip. But it takes about a third of our team of non-medical servants, because for me to be in a room seeing a patient means I can't be out there watching flow. I can't be out there helping pharmacy, you know, and they're swamped. So we need people in there that can help them. With a pharmacist in there, it doesn't necessarily have to be another pharmacist to count 20 pills out and put it in a bag. Right. But then we can do so many other things we like to do on our trips, some more non-medical we have. So, for instance, we can do a pastor training conference. We can do a marriage enrichment conference for pastors and their wives in the area. Mm-hmm. We do public health training, and we specifically ask for non-medical people in the community that want to learn this so that they can then be the church for their community, because basically we're teaching first aid for them so they can help their community. And usually we ask for people from the church or the ministry we're working with that want to learn this. But I don't have time, you know, break away from seeing patients to teach that. But if we have a lot of times college students, because a lot of us know basic first aid.
And are these often family members of healthcare professionals who are on the team?
Yeah, often they are. That's, I think, one of the blessings of GHO is you can bring your spouse, you can bring your children. Mm-hmm. The whole family can go. I did that my first trip. God just really spoke to me about this was my ministry. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about that, praying about how's that going to look. Mm-hmm. God said, bring them. So my second trip was with my whole family. My husband's an engineer, and he learned missionary optometry working in the eyeglass clinic. And my children were ages 11, 13, and 16. And they were out doing public health and teaching people how to brush their teeth or working at triage, you know, just hitting the button, start on the automatic blood pressure cuff, and then escorting them where they needed to go. My youngest did reading eyeglasses. And she was cute at it, though, because she would help them figure out what size, you know, what strength they needed. But then she wanted to style them, too, and be like, you need the purple ones. They're like, no, I really don't. Yes. And, you know, it was hysterical. So, but the point to me was that they all loved it, especially my children, because they had done youth group missions where they maybe go paint a wall or whatever, but they hang out with kids, you know, and play a lot. And they did do that on ours because we'll do a vacation Bible school type program, and they did work in that. But the rest of the time, you know, they're working in the clinic, and they liked being a working, functioning part of the team and not just there to hang out.
One became a nurse, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a whole story about how my middle one became a nurse based on an experience she had helping this woman. She was just before college, who was coming to a public health clinic to have her fifth baby in Africa and didn't make it. So Marissa's right there with her, mm-hmm. helping and watching this baby be born. Not that she really helped because she didn't know what she was doing, but, you know, they're coming out at some point. But she got to be there and experience that. Now she's a labor and delivery nurse. It was like a calling on her life. So it's amazing experiences that you get to have, and you never know how God's going to use that to change the directory of your life,
right?
You know, or at least enhance it. So that's what's so special about them to me. And after that one time, each child of mine has come back with me one-on-one, because I like that experience too of not having the whole family there, but one-on-one with your child. When a lot of people do that, a lot of physicians and dentists will bring a child mm-hmm. with them. But talking about experiences with healthcare, on this past trip we did, Andy and I together, we had, he was 3 years out. He was a physician assistant 3 years out. And at our team closing meeting, what he shared was that this trip has been amazing. He said, I didn't know people like you existed. You know, he's practicing mm-hmm. in California and was talking, I think, not about Christians, but about Christian healthcare people that are serving so hard. Because you work hard, you know, on those trips, it's hot
you
and mm-hmm. you're tired and patients keep coming. But he had never seen service like that before in his life. Mm-hmm. So that's how they can impact these younger generations. And they've shared since then on our group WhatsApp how they've gotten to share in church, how they're praying more with their patients. So we've been hearing some follow-up, which has been...
It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's just beautiful to see the impact these trips have.
Praise God. Trish, why don't you tell our listeners about what opportunities are coming down the road?
So we post, you know, always we post on our trip calendar is online, and you can find us at cmda.org/GHO and pull up, you know, find a trip and you can pull up the trip calendar. We do have Middle East trips. We have quite a few Central America trips. We do have some trips into this fall, like September and October, that still need participants on it. Mm-hmm. So if you would look at our trip calendar, there is a place for you to serve, and we still need some help for the rest of this year. And we're starting to put next year's calendar online as we get to it.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got plans for a regular, I'm not sure what frequency, a podcast where you're going to have guests who come on and talk about their experiences.
Right. We're going to relaunch. We have had a Let's Go GHO podcast, but we had a season of being understaffed and overwhelmed at GHO and had to let that go. But Christian Healthcare Missions /GHO, Let's Go GHO podcast will be relaunching in the next couple of months or so, and that'll be biweekly at that point. So look for that to come soon.
Okay, thanks. So Andy, any final thoughts, comments? I mean, there's just a wealth of experience and knowledge that I wish we could just pull out from you over a very, very short period of time, but that's not gonna be possible. But any final thoughts about this experience?
Just a couple. Again, it is hard to put into words the impact that GHO has had on my life, because I am not the same person I was, you know, praise God. The other thing is, just to see how GHO has impacted my youngest son, and Trish knows David. And David grew up going to El Salvador with me on missions, and so he developed a love for that part of the world and culture, and he lives in Nicaragua now, you know, because he loves the country down there. And GHO has been huge in his spiritual walk, because he has gone from avowed atheist to seeking God hard. And so many team leaders with GHO have played a huge part in his life in mentoring him.
Praise God.
And forever grateful for that.
Yeah. And David did join us on that mission as an interpreter, you know, a month or so ago. So it was really special.
It was great to see him.
Well, our motto for many years, CMDS, CMDA, has been changing hearts in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought, Andy and Trish, that the most powerful testimony to our families, those who are around us, you've described so well today, is that your family saw the change that was taking place because of your service. And your sons, maybe they've told you or not told you, well, we knew that there's a God because we watched him change our dad over those years. So it's always my prayer for our CMDA members and other constituents that the hearts, we think about that we're out there to change and transform the world, but obviously it's our own hearts where that change has to start and prove that God, that the gospel is real, because it starts right here in our very own heart. So thank you for being a poster professional, for demonstrating that for us today.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed it, Andy. You're special to GHO. Mm-hmm. You always will be, but you have been wonderful. servant-hearted and encouraging other team leaders at mm-hmm. GHO. So I especially really appreciate everything you've done for me personally and GHO.
And thank imagine you did 50 trips by the time you had your 50th birthday. You celebrate your 50th birthday.
And that would have been something. Yeah. And to think that, you know, when I did that first mission, I was just going to do one mission, see what it was like.
Well, if you want to sign up and find out more, as Trish has described these trips, just go to cmda.org/GHO. Mm-hmm. Different trips that are posted, and as Andy has described, logistics are even if you're busy in practice, busy healthcare professional, they're going to make it easy mm-hmm. for you.
Right.
So, God bless you. Thanks for joining us today on Faith in Healthcare, the CMDA Matters podcast. I just want to say thanks to both Dr. Trish Burgess and Dr. Andy Lamb. Andy, as you heard, has served faithfully on 50 teams and has seen countless lives in so many countries transformed. What an inspiring reminder of the power of our obedience. His story shows that when we step out to serve, even for reasons that may seem somewhat insignificant or small, God can reshape our hearts and our families and even our careers for His glory. Through discipleship, mentoring, and prayerful patient care, Andy has shown how the ripple effects of faith can extend far beyond the U.S. borders. If this episode stirred your heart, I want to encourage you today to explore upcoming trips and opportunities by going to cmda.org/GHO. There's a place for non-medical servants as well, and even whole families to serve together. And be sure to share this episode with a colleague, friend, or student, and follow the podcast on social media to stay connected. I bet you've got some colleagues who've been thinking about short-term missions, and this is the perfect on-ramp opportunity. Your support, friends, helps us grow this community and equip healthcare professionals in every single specialty to take Christ to all the earth. And remember, here on our podcast and throughout CMDA, friends, you've got a community that stands with you. We're here to encourage you, to strengthen you, and support you as you navigate the moral and the ethical, as well as the spiritual challenges of practicing healthcare today. You can visit us by going to cmda.org for various resources and a community where Christ followers experience a belonging. Next week on the podcast, I'm going to be joined by Grant Hewitt. He is CMDA Southern Region Director, and we're going to have a thought-provoking conversation about what he calls cut flower medicine. While the culture often defines this cut flower medicine as care that falls short of treating the whole person, Grant points to the deeper reality that much of modern healthcare has become detached from its Christian roots. A heritage that for over 18 centuries, it actually anchored patient care in the compassion of Christ and the image of our God. Together, we're going to explore how reclaiming that vision impacts today's practice, the vital role of campus ministries, and the unique challenges that students and residents who follow Christ face in their training environments. Don't miss it. Thanks for listening today to Faith in Healthcare, the weekly podcast from CMDA, where our mission remains the same, bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world through committed Christ followers in healthcare. That's what matters to us at CMDA. May you recognize this week that the Lord is with you, that He's for you to do His good work. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on Faith in Healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Faith in Healthcare, the CMDA Matters podcast. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.